following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, it's so good to be back. How many of you were here Saturday night? There's mom and dad right there, too. How many of you were here on Saturday night? Anybody here Saturday night? I made it Saturday night. I did not make it Sunday morning. Those of you who were here on Sunday morning, you know that. I got home. I was certainly a little bit jet-lagged. But I got up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went back to bed, and I thought, oh, I don't feel really good. And then things happened that you don't need to know about. But I got too sick to come in. But here's the crazy thing. How many of you loved Don McClure? That was a powerful message. I heard it. I was so excited about hearing it again. I heard it about another half a time before I went right back to sleep watching it on my the live stream. But I was, I can't remember where I was, on Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting in my car somewhere, or sitting with, I think it was with the pastor that was from Minnesota, Dominic Dinger, who went with us to Israel. And I get this message from Don McClure, and he says, Bill, what time should I be there tonight? And I'm thinking, what are you coming to Refuge for tonight on Saturday night? I didn't have him down to be here, so I texted him back thinking, Don, do you know you're talking to Bill Welsh and not another Bill, Pastor Bill, that maybe you're supposed to be at his church? You better contact the right Bill. And I didn't know that it was actually, he had been scheduled to be here. It was not on our calendar. It was not on my calendar. Couldn't find it anywhere. But whose calendar was it on? It was on God's calendar, because he knew that Pastor Bill would not be able to be here on Sunday morning. And so it was definitely a God thing that he was here, and a message that we all absolutely needed to hear. I took lots of notes on both of them, but I'm thankful for your prayers. I feel 110% now and ready to just keep on going and keep on charging. But what I wanted to do tonight, I wanted you to get a little bit of an overview and a recap of what we did in Israel, what we saw, and why we went. And I want to tell you why we went from my perspective, and then whoever is here, how are you here, by the way, from the group that went? I want to make sure we got enough chairs here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think we need one more chair. Did I miss anybody? Okay, we're going to need to set one more chair up here. But before they come up and share, I want to tell you where this started, the Take a Hike tours. I'm going to start calling these. I don't know if it'll actually make it to print, but thank you, Shannon. Look, all the men in the house, and Shannon's carrying up the chair. That's my girl. Thanks, babe. But in my mind, these are going to be detours. Only detours is going to be spelled D-I-apostrophe-tours, standing for discipleship tours. It's kind of a pilgrimage sort of a thing. It's not just going to see, as I've said many times over the last couple of years, we don't want our tours to Israel just to be stones and bones tours. But we want to walk alongside of and meet the living stones of Israel. And we want to minister to people as we go. And a lot of that happened as we went. And our heart is always, when we go, to watch people, the people that go on our tours, to watch their hearts come alive for the people of the land, even for the land itself, our history, prophecy that even relates to us. And as we walk in and out and around these sites where so much happened in the Old Testament, New Testament, church history continued on down through the history that we're living right now, day by day, I just pray that something in us comes alive about how God pulled off, number one, redemptive history in a place that I look at as kind of just this big, beautiful rock pile, which is what Israel is from top to bottom. And I've said before, it's not the most stunningly beautiful place in all of the world, just in terms of just the natural beauty. It is beautiful. But it's not all desert, and even the desert to me is beautiful. But God did something so remarkable there in the crossroads of the ancient world between Europe, Asia, and Africa, there in what's called the Middle East, but that land bridge that connects the north and the south together. Remarkable. And so my heart is that we take people that want to grow in their walk with Jesus. Now, can you meet Jesus right here? Can you meet Jesus in the American desert? Can you meet Jesus on the shores of the Pacific Ocean? You don't have to go to the Mediterranean Sea. Why is it so intriguing for us to go and walk where Jesus walked? Pretty simple answer, isn't it? Because that's where Jesus walked. I like to go back to the place of my own roots. I love to go back to the place where I grew up in just outside Cincinnati, Ohio. I like to walk the streets my father walked when he was a kid and my mother walked when she was a kid. But boy, to be where all of that happened. One of the things we talked about while we were there is that on a lot of the sites that we go, look over and survey, we don't know for sure if we're standing at the same level or standing on the same sidewalk that Jesus stood on. When you go to Capernaum, you're probably about a foot and a half to 2 feet above the actual foundation that Jesus would have walked into the synagogue in Capernaum because they built it right on top of that. But when you stand on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, or you're out on the waters of the Sea of Galilee, you know you're floating at the same basic level. You know when you look at that skyline of those hills, you look back at Mount Arbel, you're looking at the same outline that Jesus would have seen with a few alterations because of the wind and the weather and the earthquakes. But you're looking at the very, very same thing that Jesus looked at. But when you're there, there's something, and I love to watch it happen in people's hearts, to see what a common land it was. And what an uncommon thing Jesus Christ did in the hearts and the lives of people that said, I'm ready to follow. When you think about Abraham making his way through the land, when you think about Moses coming up from the south, when you think about David, you know, running from Saul and chasing the Philistines and killing the giant and out there on the other side, maybe down around Masada and out on the other side of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River, and you think, God, you did that here. With people just like me. They're just something that comes alive. You go all, maybe not all of you, but most of you, I hope, were kind of following and praying for the elections that took place yesterday in Israel. And I think it went the right way. I think if it had gone the other way, not that Netanyahu is an absolutely perfect man, but he is a man that stands for the security of the land and all people in the land. It's tough decisions those guys have to make that I'm glad I don't have to make. Anybody else glad that I don't have to make them and you don't have to make them? But, we prayed that he would be able to stay in office. At least that's the way that I prayed, because it looked a little bit too dangerous going the other way. And I think it's important that we continue to pray for the peace of the land and the peace of the city of Jerusalem. And I think God might just have given them another reprise or another, you know, pause in whatever might have happened if it had gone the other way. And a great opportunity for us to continue, not just to take tourists there, but a great opportunity for us to seek God on how we can minister to the people of that land in this wide open time where we can go in there and we can connect with people. Whether we go or not, we can connect with people that are in there and let them know we're standing with them and praying for them. I want to read two passages for you, then I'm going to invite my fellow travelers to come up here on the platform. We're going to talk about where we went. We're going to show you a few pictures and a couple of brief little videos if we can get that to work as well. This is back at the beginning of such a significant phase of the history, of redemptive history, when God said to Abram, was his name then, before it was changed, get out of your country. What was his country? Ur of the Chaldees, which today is in the land of Iraq. Get out of your country, from your people, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will what? Curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many families? Every family, including your family. Every tribe, every nation, including your nation. Every ancestry, including your ancestry, would be blessed. How would that happen? Because through this nation that God would establish, not because they were perfect, not because it would always be perfect, but through this nation Israel that God would establish, he would bring who? Messiah. Yeshua. He would bring Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to bless all the families of the earth. And Jesus, at the end of his ministry, would turn to his disciples and say, let's get on with this. That's a paraphrase. He would say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to fulfill that promise that came to Abraham. Through you, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. How? By hearing the gospel, that God had created a nation, favored status, Certainly to a degree, but not that he loved them more than all the other nations of the earth. He loved all the nations, all the people of the earth, and chose this one little tiny family of people that were, you couldn't even call them a nation by the time they went down into Egypt. And then there for 400 years, and then they came out and had to take their detour in a different way. Now, well, no, it was kind of their discipleship tour as well. Out through the other side of the Jordan for 40 years until God could purify something in them, bring them in, and further his work that would move towards the arrival of the Son of God who would die for the sins of all the world, Jew and Gentile alike. You see how that all ties together? That in him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that's why I believe in Psalm 1, is it 123? I marked it. Let me run to it. 123. I was glad, David said, when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that's compact together where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, thrones of the house of David. And then he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because it is the epicenter. It would be the center point of where God would pull off, as I said, your salvation and mine. And may they prosper who love you. Want to prosper in all the right ways? I'm not just talking about stacks of money, but do you want the favor of the Lord upon your life and upon your heart? Then pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Would you pray with me right now for the peace of that nation as they continue to figure out what comes next? Father, I thank you for the recent time that we've had there and the upcoming time with another small group of our people here. Father, may we always carry with us when we go there a blessing for the people of that land, Jew and Gentile alike, Arab and Gentiles of all other nationalities. But Father God, may we carry a blessing, a pronounced blessing, Father, and may we bring a blessing to your people. And God, would you please bring peace to that city right now? Lord, we can only imagine those that are excited and those that are disappointed as a result of the last election, just like our elections here. But Father, we pray for your peace upon that city. And Lord, we pray for the outpouring of your Spirit and just an invasion of your grace, Lord, a proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for letting us have something to do with that. And God, I thank you for so many of our friends and my pastor friends that are there tonight, still there, Lord. There's always somebody from our family represented there, and we thank you, Lord, for that constant extended hand of blessing. Bless them as they bless your people now. And bless the rest of this evening, Lord, as we talk about the impact of this recent trip in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, come on up, okay? Any of you that are here that went with me, come on up and let's spread these out a little bit. Joy said if we're sitting in a circle, nobody on that side would be able to see us. If you want to see us and you can want to move around, you can do that. But come and take a seat and there you go. Welcome these guys back. They did an amazing job hiking like crazy. And we want to say hello to the rest. I think, oh, there's another guy. Another guy. That's not just another guy. That's Isaac. But, yeah. And I got another one on that side, too. So we want to say hi to those that are watching online that couldn't be here. Mike and Steve and Aaron and Shaddy. And how many of you remember Shaddy? Anybody remember Shaddy? He came from Texas. Dominic came from, I'll need my clicker. Minnesota, and I hope he's watching too. What a blessing he was. I couldn't get his video downloaded tonight, but I'm going to show it to you. It's just a one-minute clip that comes from so simple to put stuff together in iMovie. How many of you use iMovie? 2, 3, 7. Okay, I just learned how to do that, so we're going to have some more of those to show you as time goes by. But hello and shalom to you guys and maybe some others from here where there were 14 of us all together. And everyone here, in fact, everyone in the 14, all of us made it up. What do you think was the toughest hike? Masada. Maybe not the highest, but it was the toughest because we did it quickly and everyone made it in under 56 minutes was yours? I thought it was more like just under 50, but everyone did. I hope this, and this was what was amazing. This is my hero from the trip right here, Diane. All you guys are great, but Diane was really a hero in this sense. I don't know if you know this, but Diane deals with MS. And MS did not stop her from cresting the top of all of the places where we walked, and she deserves an ovation for that. So, anyway, I'm going to walk you. Why don't we talk a little bit to begin with, and just if you need the microphone, call, raise your hand, and I'll bring it to you. I want you guys to just take each one of you just a really brief moment and introduce yourself and just share what was your one standout moment of the trip, okay? And who wants to start? I don't have to start with the one beside me unless you're ready. You ready? No, he's ready. Okay, go.
Peter Albini, Diane's husband. And I worried about her the whole trip. There are like two standout moments, I think. It was the Garden Tomb and being on the Sea of Galilee. There was just something about being on the Sea of Galilee that, and we did that at the beginning of the trip, and I carried that with me most of the way. So those were about the two big standouts, and seeing my wife crest Masada.
Yeah, that was great.
I'm Diane Albini, and yes, climbing Masada was a challenge. But I think climbing Mount Arbel meant more to me, and then being baptized in the Sea of Galilee.
You'll see a picture of that if I can get this to work well, too.
My name is Chase Morris.
You got a haircut, man.
I did. I came back looking like a bum, but it was just an amazing trip. I remember just days before, I was rushing around trying to find maps on Israel, and once I got there, it was just like sensory overload. But you know, being baptized in the Sea of Galilee, you know, it really let me, you know, just look back and slow things down and take it all in. So
yeah.
It was really great.
Yeah, good. And when I told the group, hey, this is not the typical tour, you're going to need to get yourself fit. Get out and do some walking, you know, do like 5 miles a day or whatever. And Chase said, I'm probably okay on the walking. He's a mailman. You do how many miles a day?
13
miles a day. So he was ready. He was ready for it. Yeah.
My name is Tim Peets.
And what number trip was this for you, Tim?
This is number 6.
Yeah.
And it's like a spiritual renewal for me because when Bill told me he was going back, sign me up.
Yeah.
And it's just something special about that country. So.
Really was. What was your favorite spot this time?
They're all good.
This guy is an absolute explorer. You know the instrument I showed you a few months, probably a couple months ago at least? He's the one that brought that back from Ethiopia. He went in search of the lost ark. That's California Jones right there. Indiana Jones, yeah. So.
My name is Scott Moffitt, and I share with everybody else here just the connection that you have going to a place where Jesus himself was at, and I think when he said looking at the topography especially, because most everything is down below, it's hard to really say which is the highlight, because I think every day was so exciting, and what I loved about it was how we were entrenched in the Word the whole trip, and Bill kept feeding us and feeding us more and more, never let up. I think two favorite places I think I share with Diane, Mount Arbel, where Jesus... We think Jesus ascended and prayed for his apostles. And that tunnel, was it Herodian's tunnel? Is it the Herodian's tunnel?
Is that the one where we walked from the pool of Siloam up
to
the temple?
Yeah, from the city of David up to the Temple Mount.
There's a brand new, how many of you have been to Israel before? Some of you that went with us before, there's a new tunnel that they have just completed that you come out of the Pool of Siloam. It was under construction the last couple times. And I think it was 200 meters or so that you're, you know, well underground making your way.
I have the whole thing on video, the whole thing.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but that was neat because you see the actual steps. You're actually at the elevation where Jesus was as he ascended those steps. So most likely the same steps we stepped on were the same steps that Christ stepped on, which is... Yeah. it's surreal. It's a surreal thing. So.
My name is Kathy Craig, and I'm speechless. there were too many. It was our first time to Israel, and everything was pretty amazing. I think what impacted me the most, though, was talking to the people. The Bible college, the stories, the things that are happening in Israel right now impacted me immensely. A couple of our hosts told us some things that that just amazed me. And I was just floored by the whole thing. It was like touching, you know, 2,000-year-old buildings and things like that. But it was the people and the things that I found out going into Bethlehem and seeing the Palestinians. There are Palestinian Christians. There are Arab Christians. There are Jewish Christians. And they're everywhere. And they're growing. And I was just floored by that.
Yeah.
And just the love that was that was shown us by these people. And one of them, Karen, was saying, you know, we're going to be okay. We have the promises. And we have the prophets, and we're going to be okay. We're praying for your country.
thank you.
Yeah. So it was a whole different perspective, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful place to be.
Well, one of the things that I discovered there, and I saw it more this time than ever. Now, my head is not buried in the sand in terms of the conflict there, but and I don't know percentage-wise how big the radical arm of all that is, but it was remarkable to me to watch how, and especially in Jerusalem, how the Jews and the Arabs, they're getting along and they're working, you know, side by side. Not that there's probably not tension at times under the surface, but even our bus driver, who was Arab Muslim, Hashem, wonderful guy, just we got along great, and we're talking to him about the election. And I said, what do you think about the election coming up? I said, who do you think should win? And he said, Netanyahu. He said, he's a good man, he's a good leader. That just floored me. I didn't think that would be his response, especially with the offer that was on the other side of the table. But continue to pray for their peace and getting along. They want peace. They want peace like anybody else wants peace. So, yep, Frank.
Okay, my name is Frank Craig, and first time is to Israel for me, too. But I think one of the most important visits that we made on the trip was Mount Arbel for a couple reasons. One is because Jesus Christ was there, so it was really something to be in the same place and walk on the same ground that he walked on. But also, it was kind of a crucible for all of us, because at least for my part, you know, I hardly knew anybody really well. I knew a lot of people by sight, a couple people I've never even seen before until this trip. But I think climbing up Mount Arbel, we started before the sun came up in the dark. We needed flashlights to avoid certain things and
animal products that were in the way.
By the time we got to the top, we were all sweating, and the sun was coming up and the sunrise, and it's kind of our first major test, you know, as far as hiking goes. It was a great trip. I just seemed to me like every place we went was always uphill.
I don't know if it's going to show on the video. I think I got the clip that shows this. But on that hike up, when we were probably close to halfway up to the top, like right at the bottom of that fortress that was embedded into the wall, we had the moon setting off to the west and the sun popping up at almost exactly the same time over the Sea of Galilee. And that was just a beautiful moment. Isaac.
My name is Isaac Rosa, and the whole thing was pretty awesome. But one just that stood out to me, as I've probably told a lot of you guys, is just being there at the Qumran Caves, having a historian on the team and just giving us such a cool background, unique background on what took place there, the timing of the finding of the scrolls. If it would you'd mentioned that if it was found 100 years before, they would have been lost forever. And so just, it was one of those moments, at least for me, that, you know, that feeling you get right when you stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon, there's just kind of that healthy, like, whoa, like God is really, really big. And so just even in the finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls, to me was was a faith, I want to call it a faith builder, but like, whoa, like God, you are so sovereign and so in charge. And so that for me is so cool.
That it is one of the real passions of Scott's heart. And as a professor and a teacher, he was our Qumran expert, our Dead Sea Scrolls expert. These are here courtesy of Scott, the Isaiah scroll, not the Isaiah scroll, but the replica, exact replica, right, of the Isaiah scroll. Is this the same as the one that's in the Shrine of the Book? And if I have these right, the little one over there is the Habakkuk commentary and the community rules. So he had prepped us on this before we went, and then to be there, it was just remarkable. Again, when you imagine going, how many of you have been out to Palm Springs? You know those rocky, dusty hills out there? Imagine caves just out there in the desert. I mean, God allowed them to store away some of the most precious, they're not artifacts, but the living word of God carefully copied on these scrolls into holes in the ground. So that when was it,
47, 48,
they would be discovered and just verify that the Bible you hold in your hands is accurate and kept for 2,000 years for us to see. Yes, amen, amen. So I'm going to run through this. If we could dim the lights so these are a little bit more. You think we got it figured out, Jesse? Is it going to roll? Okay. And do I have to hit it twice when I get to the? Okay, we'll see. Take a Hike, 2015, March 3rd through the 13th. Look at my very first. Okay, now it's not working. There we go. Okay. I made a mistake on the books that everybody carried. Prophetic, I don't know. It says 2016. I don't know how I did that, but that was the book that we carried. There's a whole bunch of us, except for Shaddy. Shaddy was missing because we picked him up. We met him in Israel. He flew directly from Texas. And here we go. That should roll.
We're live.
Arriving in Ben Gurion. That's a happy man right there. All of us. A little bit jet lag. If they only knew how many steps were ahead for them at that point. And it was called the Bill Welsh Group. When they asked me what name to put on the sign when we met them, if I'd known it was going to end up on the bus the whole time, I wouldn't have said the Bill Welsh Group. But that's and that was Hashem. You barely see it. There's another picture of him, I think. That's our bell that you've been hearing about. And that was our first look in the morning. First morning when we got up, we took every morning there was an optional hike that was close to anywhere between about 3.5 to 5.5 miles. And the first morning we just walked down to the sea. We looked back at the mountain that we would be climbing the next day, not that day. And so we went all along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. We watched the sun come up, and I got a picture from Iraq of your refugee buddies there looking north towards Capernaum. I'm going to go through these fast. This is one of our very first walks that morning as we went up to, I think this is up into Dan. Dan is the city furthest to the north. I should have had some maps here. But if you got a map of Israel, it's about the same square miles as New Jersey. And so way up at the top of Israel was the northern city of Dan. And that's just one of the hikes through there. It looks like we're walking on water. Not quite. Later that day, we went across to the Banias area, Caesarea Philippi. Again, way up in the north. And there's this beautiful hike where there's a hanging bridge or walkway that takes you over this beautiful rushing river that is part of the headwaters of the Jordan River. And we walked out to this massive waterfall and then got done there. And we went over to Nimrod's fortress up on the top of this hill. We didn't have time to hike to the top, so the bus took us and we walked down a little ways into this ancient olive grove, which is probably about maybe 1,000 years to 1,100 years old. Beautiful old olive trees in there. And this is up at Caesarea Philippi. What you're looking at is you see the mountain over to, or the cliff, really, not a mountain, but the cliff over to the right, and all that flat foundation area. It was like a food court of places to worship different gods in grotesque and perverted sexual ways and all other ways that you could worship whatever you wanted to. And it was just, that's where Jesus took his disciples and said, when I send you out, he said, I will build my church. and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's a lot to say here. We don't have time to go into it. But my belief is Jesus took his disciples about a 3 or 4 day journey, if I remember right what we said that was, about a 3 to 4 day journey, hike, by the way, all not on a 15-passenger bus, but a hike to tell them what I believe he was saying is, when I send you forth, you come to places like this and people like these. Don't forget the pagans who need me as much as the Jews, as much as those who were very near to the truth. And so it's always just a stunning place for me and a place to be reminded that Jesus wants everyone to know about his love. There were a few coffee stops along the way. That's hot chocolate. And Aroma, wonderful place to give you a piece of chocolate. And what's better than that, right? How many things did we tell you what's better than that tonight? Chocolate and pizza and whatever else. It was beautiful time of the wildflowers. I think this is a video. This is up on Arbel, almost a little more than halfway up.
How's that for bloom where you're planted?
Joy was doing a study last week called Bloom Where You Were Planted, and I kept taking pictures of flowers growing out of the rocks to kind of typify that. Now, you might see the moon set. Maybe keep looking. Yeah, it was gone by that time. Now you're looking up towards the top of the Sea of Galilee there. There's another one. Now we're on the Sea of Galilee. That's our bell, right in the center. That's Scott preaching. Did you know that the boat that Jesus was on with his disciples had a motor? How many of you knew that? The thing I love about being on the Sea of Galilee, when you look from typically take off from near Tiberias, and then you look north, and that that shoreline that circles the top, that's the section of land where we believe Jesus called all of his apostles. They were from those towns and villages, just simple little country towns, fishing towns, farming towns, and just common people like you and I. I love that. This is in Capernaum on the foundation that's about a foot and a half off the foundation of the synagogue that Jesus would have preached in.
Proclaim
that's
liberty
dominant.
To the captives and recovery of sight to the blind.
Kind of fly by.
Set at liberty those who are oppressed.
We're down in Capernaum now, and this is walking along the Sea of Galilee up to the point where we were about to baptize. We got these a little bit out of order. You guys remember where this is? Remember what town this is? Of the three that were cursed by Jesus, Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin. Chorazin. And that's the town square of Chorazin, one of those cities that saw the miracles of Jesus but did nothing about it. They heard the preaching, they saw the signs and wonders, but there was no repentance. We talked there about how important it is not to just hear, not to just listen, but to respond to the word of God. We're accountable to everything that we've heard, and it was just, it's always to me a powerful place to stop. And that is from the crest of Arbel, I'm pretty sure. They all made it, and that was another one of those hikes. I thought, are we going to lose any along the way? But everyone made it. These are the headless cows of Mount Arbel. We did find them. There's the baptism where, let's see the hands of those who got baptized, all three. And Isaac was out there helping, and we both forgot to bring our water shoes that day, and the bottom of the Sea of Galilee right up close is so rocky. How many of you ever walk over something like that and it's like you feel like you're walking over hot coals, you're looking for a place to stop, and everybody was there waiting for us to come out, and Isaac was looking for a place and he just kept walking right on by the people like he was ready to go try walking on the water, but he helped me lower people in and bring them out, and that was a powerful time just to take you all into the water. Anybody know who that guy is? You know the guy on the right, but you know the guy on the left? I saw a Calvary bus when we stopped at Capernaum. Now, there's another Calvary Chapel here. And I would have missed him. This is, how many of you know Bill Gallatin? Anybody read the Harvest book? Or Bill Gallatin pastors up in upstate New York. And I still would have walked right by him. I didn't know him with a beard. But there were Calvary Chapel pastors all over Israel. And right now, John Corson is there. Jim Gallagher is there, Rich Chafin is there, Poncho I think is there, or maybe just about on his way back. We go again in April. Pastor Brian goes in April. And, you know, Calvary Chapel just loves Israel, the land, the people, and what God's going to do there. That's Shaddy. Anybody want to take a guess on what Shaddy is sitting on? No, it's not a toilet. That picture's coming up. It's the seat of Moses. It's the in the synagogues when you would read from the scripture. Was it when would sit when they read from the scripture or sit when they commented on it? But in many synagogues, there was a seat of Moses. Talks about those who sit in the seat of Moses but don't do anything to live out the word. And in the synagogue in Chorazim, there was a seat or a replica of the seat of Moses. This is in, who remembers?
Nazareth.
And what is it?
Synagogue,
yeah. It's an ancient synagogue. Is it the synagogue of Nazareth where Jesus said, what was it that he said? He got up and he read from Isaiah. He read from the Isaiah scroll and he said what? Get the mic there. Go ahead. You know it? You got it? Yeah, sure. Luke chapter 4. Jesus was raised in Nazareth, as you guys know. But we followed in Galilee. We tried to follow the Jesus trail, which is pretty well marked everywhere, especially out in the countryside. But when we got to the outskirts of Nazareth, I knew exactly where it should have been, but I couldn't find the Jesus trail anywhere, and the bus had already left us, and we didn't have phone connection with him. We told him where we would meet him, but so we did some urban hiking while we were in Nazareth and made our way up. I think that hill had to be a mile from top to bottom with traffic. And I understand that's the only place that some of our people felt a little bit like, what has he gotten us into now as we were heading up? Go ahead and read what Jesus did from a synagogue like that in Nazareth.
He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah.
I think I turned it on. Maybe I turned it off.
Okay, when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down.
What was he saying here? There in the synagogue, he was saying, now it begins. Now let's do what I came here to do, to heal broken, messed up people. Anybody fall in one of those categories? He came for you. Okay, next, there's our urban hiking. As we're cutting in and out between trucks and cars, and I began to feel like, oh, Lord, what have I gotten them into? But God got us through that. Oh, sorry about that.
Go.
Something. That makes no sense. Oh, this was great. This was great. This is Aaron and Steve, and we had a couple of push-up contests. I didn't win, but Scott did really well on one of them. But Steve was saying, well, I can do push-ups with Aaron on my back. And so this is in the amphitheater in Beth Shan, one of the beautifully preserved and rebuilt city, old Roman cities on the west side of the Jordan.
Go.
He did a couple. And there were some Jewish boys that were so excited. One of them said, do it with me. And so he got right back down and he did it with this other guy too. He was a little heavier than Aaron was. Pretty good, huh? He deserves a round of applause for that. Come on. So Steve, if you're watching, you get it again. And that's the... That was at Beth Shan as well. Beautiful hike. This is a day earlier up in Galilee, a place called Nahal Amud, which is the Valley of the Pillar. And the pillar that it's speaking about is that thing right there. It's just a gorgeous hike. It's rated one of the top three hikes in Israel. And the flowers were just gorgeous the whole time. This was down further south in Arad, one of the early morning. Only six made it out for that morning hike. But it's kind of looking out over what the Judean wilderness looks like. You're looking right behind them into the country that David ran into to get away from Saul as he was chasing him. Right back behind, just north of Arad. That's the toilets. That's the bathroom in Bet Shan. That's enough of that. And that's more Bet Shan. You remember the story where Saul was killed, fell on his sword, didn't die. Someone came along, finished him off. His sons had died too. And the enemy comes and they take the bodies and they hang them from the walls of Bet Shan. And that's that green hill back there is about 16 layers of civilization. And one of those layers was Beth Shan. That's the city. What you're looking through is in Jesus' day would have been the modern city of Beth Shan that was built alongside of those ruins. A lot of history right there. This is his chase right here. I think this is going to roll. Oh, it didn't. That was just a still shot. But Chase waded in at the David's waterfall and took a cool shower that afternoon there. This is where David, at least up in the canyon, we don't know if this was the actual falls, but possibly right behind that where there is a cave is where David was hiding out when Saul came in and he could have taken his life at that point, but didn't. And this is walking into the same Engedi area. And there are the lovebirds walking along.
Smile at the camera, guys. I got him holding hands.
And this down in the next shot shows us Masada. This was definitely the most strenuous hike. It wasn't necessarily the longest, but definitely the most strenuous. I had read somewhere there were 700 steps going up, and we counted how many? Closer to what? Closer to 1,000 steps with probably about a quarter mile of just inclined trail connecting them. But it was a warm day, and it was warmer coming back down for the seven or eight of us, or maybe nine, that decided to hike down instead of taking the tram. But backing up just a little bit, there's the down in the very southern tip of Masada. There's I think six cisterns all over the five? 12 cisterns. And this is the biggest, and it's used by the Jewish youth movement to one of the stages where they go down into this cistern. They talk about who they are. They talk about their nation. They talk about, you know, their patriotism to their country and to their history. So we had a great time down there in the Word, Isaac leading us through a study, and it was a powerful moment. Dead Sea, you cannot drown in the Dead Sea without some help. You have to have somebody help you do that. It can't happen accidentally. And the only accident we had was Kathy's arm. What happened there? Somebody passed her the mic. Tell Scott, you've got it. Tell them what happened there.
One of the things I learned, very profound, is you do not pet the cats in Israel. She was friendly. She was friendly. She was rubbing against my leg. Everybody else had been petting her. I reached down to pet her, and she let me pet her for like a little bit, and then she turned around, and she was literally hanging off my arm.
But she was half domesticated, and that's why you bring first aid kits. Thank you, Dan, for prepping us on that. And this is Qumran. Now, we went out to. It's a typical overlook where all of the tourists will go, where this picture was taken from. This, and by the way, I looked this up in a book, Scott. This one right here is Cave 4. And Cave 4A, 4B is over here. Cave 1 is, I think, right up in here. And so we hiked back this way around over this. It would be a raging waterfall in a flash flood. Came across this and then up this and back into here over the top of cave. I don't know if that's cave one or not. We had just a beautiful afternoon back in there talking and worshiping a little bit and taught the guys how to use a slingshot. And Dominic, he was killer with it, almost literally, but he did really well with that. And I don't know what we're pointing at, but we're pointing out over towards the Dead Sea. I think we're pointing across the Dead Sea towards where the Israelites would have been making their way to cross over the Jordan up above the north end of the Dead Sea, which is off to the left of the photo there. But that was a great afternoon hike. This was so fun. One of my one of the things I determined to do this time, reading some of the tour books, you can get up on the rooftops of the marketplaces of Israel and or Jerusalem. And so one night we hiked in, a handful of us hiked in, and we ran across these Danish students that came walking through en masse, and we said, "Where are you from?" They said, "Denmark." We said, "We're from California," and they kept walking. I thought, oh, I should have challenged them. If you're really from Denmark, then let's hear your national anthem. But I didn't, but they came back and they said, "Let's hear your national anthem." And they just burst into it like they were a touring choir. They were great. They loved the Lord. They were all there at a Bible college studying and just preparing to serve God for the rest of their life together. Okay, this is the tunnel, part of the tunnel. There was one place where it was so narrow, almost got stuck. But it said turn sideways. It did.
All right, real stairs.
Gosh. Hi, America.
This is up on the
more
southern
than the
steps.
Watchmen who wait for the morning.
That tunnel
yes,
took us to
than
this.
Yes, more those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy.
That's the Mount of Olives in existence.
With him is abundant redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
You think about Jesus himself, Mary and Joseph, holding Jesus as a baby, walking up those very same steps to dedicate him to the Lord. So much, so many of your favorite stories happened on that Temple Mount. And especially during the time of Jesus when it looked exactly like it does now. Well, there was a temple there instead of the mosques and the Dome of the Rock. But the same foundation that Jesus walked on, and to me, it's always a moving experience to make it up there to the top. These are the rooftops over the marketplace. A lot of activity there during the day and even in the night. This was at Yad Vashem. Everybody know what Yad Vashem is? Holocaust Memorial. And we're standing real close to the tree that's dedicated to Corrie ten Boom. And when I go there, I like to have about 8 people stand up on one of those benches and crowd as close as they dare to one another. And it simulates about how many people fit into the dimensions of the hiding place where the Ten Boom family protected the Jews that were running for their life. And it's always a very, very sobering thing. But something happened this time when we were there that how could you ever orchestrate this? And we'll get back to that in a second. This is out of order, but this is out in Caesarea Maritime, where Paul would have launched out on his journey to Rome. You'll love this. Two of them. There's a guy back in under the archway. Hear the voice? The voice is a man that we ran into who was explaining to us what this was all about, which I didn't totally understand. But he was a Messianic Jew who had come to Christ. And I think it was in relation to the tours, too, wasn't it? He used to he was a tour guide.
A friend of his wanted some guidance as going to a church.
Oh. But he had come to Christ and just shared his testimony with us that day, and it was awesome. They're looking across at the front of the Mount of the Temple Mount over to the Mount of Olives, and the group that made it to the Wailing Wall that day, lots of people praying, and that is up at that shrine is many scholars believe that where those guys are standing is very close to where the Holy of Holies would have actually been constructed at the back part of the temple. That was Rabbi David, and he gave us the tour of the tunnel that takes you along the base of the retaining wall that Herod built to enlarge the Temple Mount. And every hand that you see in that picture is on the same exact stone. That stone was, I think, 50 feet long, close to 50 plus something feet long. I think 8 feet high, and I can't remember how many feet deep they said it was, but just massive. Moved into place to hold up the top of the Temple Mount. And there's that again. And do I have it? Is that the end of it? Yad Vashem, again, a part of the memorial. This is the picture. See that little tree right there, which is very small in comparison to all the other trees along what they call the Avenue of the Righteous. All those trees were planted with a plaque at the bottom of each one to memorialize some Gentile who had gone out of their way, risked their own life, and sometimes at the cost of their own life, to save the Jews from the Holocaust. The day that Corrie ten, they say the day, but certainly at the time that Corrie ten Boom died, her tree died. So it's the only one up there that's been planted twice. That's why it's so small. But if any of you know the story about Corrie, you know that her heart and her ministry as just a woman of God, loved Jesus with all of her heart. What she did to serve Jesus, and I'm thinking about, you know, Courtney and Grace in this too, a young woman that grew up with a heart to help people. She ministered to mentally handicapped adults before the Holocaust. When she was questioned at the concentration camp, well, what were you doing before the war started? She said, well, I was ministering, sharing the gospel with mentally handicapped adults. The commandant said, well, what a waste of your life. And she said, no, it wasn't. As we were making our way past there, we'd had our time there, went out to look at another display. On our way back, this is what was coming. It was a tour group from Holland of mentally handicapped adults that wheeled up in their wheelchairs and with their assistants. I thought, oh, God. It was, to me, the most moving time of the whole trip, that this woman who had laid down her life was now being remembered by the people that she loved the most and that she poured her life into. Was it a waste? Was it a waste that somebody shared the gospel with you? One of my favorite book of hers, tiny pamphlet called Common Sense Not Needed. It's so bad that so many bright people don't even have the common sense to know that they need Christ. But anyway, that was powerful. This is the place of the skull. I think personally it's the place where Jesus was crucified. What had happened during the snow. Remember hearing about the snowstorms in Israel and Jerusalem? The bridge of the nose fell out of the skull from the weight of the snow, and it was right in there. So it looks a little different. If you've been there before, compare your pictures. It looks just a little tiny bit different. There's a group at the Garden Tomb, and I think that might be Peter coming out of the tomb right there, you know, at the back. But that was another stunning place. Frank got to take over in a radio station while we're there for just a moment. This is at the Bible College up in Netanya. God's doing a powerful work through these very strongly motivated young people and their professors, and they're going out all over Israel and all over the world with the gospel from there. Okay, we're almost at the end here. This is looking over the Temple Mount from up on the Mount of Olives. This is the last day we were there in Jerusalem. We went down to the Garden Tomb, the most profound sign in all of Israel. He is not here. That's inside the tomb. He is risen. And that's it. So, but thank you guys for your patience. And I want to thank you for praying for us. And maybe a trip to Israel is in your future. I know it's costly. I know it takes time. I know you use your vacation time to go do it, but you return different, don't you? Don't you see your Bible? Don't you pick up your Bible and it just feels a little bit heavier now, a little weightier than before? Anybody want to share something briefly before we wrap up in prayer? Anybody? Anything else? Yeah, Frank.
I just want to say, a couple years ago, I think we had a trip going to Israel, or last year maybe, mm-hmm. you know, and Kathy and I both went out to the information meeting, you know, that you guys had, and that's as far as we got, you know. So this hiking trip came up, and, you know, we went to the information again, and I told her, you know what, Kathy, we just can't afford it. And then she says, well, if not now, when? So, you know, we prayed about it, you know, and then it got to the point where we cannot not afford to go. So So we ended up going. And myself, I'm a little bit of a history buff, you know, back east, you know, I've been to Valley Forge, Antietam, Gettysburg, Vicksburg. I've been to some South Pacific beaches, you know, where plenty of people have died and suffered, you know, for the freedom of our country. And just being in places like that is just, you know, it's kind of awe-inspiring, emotional. You know, there's tons of emotions that go through when you go to places like that. But I got to tell you, that pales in comparison to standing and where Jesus Christ suffered and died for us. You almost compare it to a postcard of the Grand Canyon versus actually seeing it in person. Mm-hmm. It's just not comparable.
Yeah.
So this little plug, if anybody is thinking about going to Israel, do it now, because if not now, when?
Good plug, man. I didn't even ask him to do that, but yeah. Yeah. Amen. Well, let's pray. And thank you guys for enduring the home movies. And I hope there's more than just home movies there for you. Maybe something would be stirring in you. More than anything, please, please be praying for the people of that land. It's a volatile time. You could say that every day and it'd be accurate. But especially in these election seasons, it's the aftermath can be tough. So let's pray for the nation. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to lead a group of your people, to see the place where you're still working, Lord. You are not done in the land of Israel. You have not moved on, Lord, from your purposes, the prophecies that you have given us, Lord, your promises that you have made, that you still will fulfill. Father, we pray for the turning of the hearts of Jews and Arabs, Muslims, Hindus, the Druze, Lord, the Samaritans, and the agnostics, Father, the secular people of Israel that walk around it every day and their hearts are just as cold as stone to it. Father, may their hearts begin to be open, Father, to the gospel. Father, we pray for those men and women, the young men and women, the old men and women that love you so much and want to see their nation touched. Father, encourage them as they continue to plow and to cultivate and to plant the seed of the gospel. Lord, would you tie our hearts together more than ever with your purposes for that land and show us how we can do more than just travel there, but really minister to and intercede for on a daily basis the work that you are about in that land. So, Father, thank you for the reminder tonight, and we pray for the peace of Israel. We pray for your work to continue there in the strong name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.